Today is special because it is the beginning of a new season. We call the season Advent.
What does that mean?
Advent is a word that means to come. It is a time when we get ready, preparing ourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus came when he was born on Christmas Day.
What are some things we do to get ready?
We get our hearts ready. Thinking about him.
What we're doing right now around the Advent wreath is a way of preparing for Christmas. This is the first Sunday in Advent.
Today we light one purple candle.
The traditional color for Advent is purple, which refers to the coming of the royal king, Jesus Christ. Purple is also a deep color that symbolizes spiritual darkness outside the light of Christ.
First candle is the candle of hope.
Can you read this last part?
I light this candle.
To remind us that we wait. With hope for the day.
For the hope we wait.
When we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We hope that everyone will come to know Jesus and worship him.
All
right. Thank you, guys. Thank you for lighting the purple candle. Purple. I love the way little kids say purple. Purple. I love it. Ah. Oh, holy night. We're starting a series where we're going to focus each week on the carols and see how they came about, how they relate to Scripture. And, you know, some of the traditions we do every year, we just do them because it's Christmas. And we don't really have any idea why we do them. Like, I love this thing, because this is a liturgical thing, and we are not a liturgical church. But this is our tradition. So we light them, and every year it comes up. Now, which candle goes with which? What are we supposed to have three pinks and one purple? What is there supposed to be a white candle in the middle? What? Okay, now is this the week for hope, love, joy? Which week is it? But it's our tradition. So we do it. And every year we have people stand up and read things telling us why we do it. And then next year, we do it again and go, now what one was, were we leading, what? So we have a bunch of traditions, right? It's Christmas time when we do things, and we have no idea why we do them. The old joke, the joke of the granddaughter watching her mother prepare Christmas ham, and she cuts off each end of the ham and puts it in the pot. And the daughter says, Mom, why do you cut off each end of the ham? And she said, I don't know. My mother always did it. Let's go ask Grandma. So they go, and they ask Grandma. Ask her your question. Grandma, why do you cut off each end of the ham before you put it in the pot on Christmas? I don't know. My mother always did it. Let's go ask Great-Grammy. And they go and they ask Great Grammy, and she said, Great Grammy, because Grammy's hard of hearing, Great Grammy, why do you cut off both ends of the ham to put it in your pot? Why do we do that on Christmas? And Great Grammy said, it's the only way it'll fit in my pot. So sometimes we have these traditions that we have to do every year. One of the traditions that I do, I try to watch every version I can find of A Christmas Carol. I mean, I go back, I found one that's even one of the old black and white with the captions in between, you know, where it's a silent film and it's telling a Christmas carol. And Robin will look at me and she can't nod to you because she's down in the nursery today. But I drive her nuts because I have to watch every episode, every different variation I can find of a Christmas carol. Why do I do it? I don't know. It's my tradition. I have to do it. I have to put on a white Christmas every year and sing along. We'll follow the old man wherever he wants to go. And I kind of prance around the living room, and Robin goes, And in White Christmas, there's that one scene that everybody wonders about, where they're like in the black leotards going like this and stuff. And so we always have a debate. What's this about? Why is this in this, as Robin calls it, very long film? And it is, it's long. But our traditions, we have a tradition here that we have to watch little kids tell us what the Christmas story is.
A Sunday Found Christmas.
One day Mary was in her house
and she wears a long sparkly pink dress. Mary was sweeping the floors. No, Mary washing dishes.
An angel appeared to her.
Oh, look, an angel. Don't be afraid. God has given you a baby. His name will be Jesus. Does that mean my belly is gonna get big?
Oh, yeah.
Daddy's name is Joseph.
Joseph was a carpenter. He built things out of wood.
Joseph built a big ship.
He used a hammer and a nail and a saw.
And wrenches. Wrenches. Lights. For the boat.
Joseph, I have a surprise for you. I'm pregnant and we're gonna have a baby. There's this angel that came down and told me.
That's impossible. We're not married yet.
It's true.
I don't believe you.
An angel came to Joseph in a dream.
Joseph, don't be afraid to marry Mary. Her baby is from God. His name is Jesus. He will save his people.
They were gonna get married, and he took them to Bethlehem.
Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem with a donkey.
I think the donkey had wings. He fly with his ears.
It takes him very long to get to Bethlehem.
2 miles away, or like 15, or 100 in a million.
They went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
That's a long time. I couldn't even say it.
They got to Bethlehem.
I wonder where we're gonna stay.
Yeah, me too.
We're having a baby and we need a hotel room fast because we're gonna have it very, very fastly. And it's gonna come very fast.
No, you cannot get in. No, you cannot get in my house. No, no, no.
Where should we go?
A staple.
That's good. Let's go down there.
Yeah. They had the baby in a staple. It was a really little barn. It stinks in here. Yuck. They swept the floor and they sprayed it air freshener. There were lots of animals around. Chicken, some chickens. There's more animals, but the only thing I think about is chickens. And they were really loud. Like cows and stuff. I'm so hungry. I wish I could eat a big old cow with milk for this tummy.
Joseph. Isaac is starting to have a baby.
Don't be afraid, Mary. They had their baby. They put him in the manger, and then they put cloth over him.
I love you. I love you so much. You're the best baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus, I love you.
So there were shepherds in the fields who were watching their flocks by night.
Bah, bah, bah.
Have you seen the movie Star Wars?
Why?
There was actually this Star Wars Lego that I won for Christmas, but I like got it on Wednesday because I ordered it online.
But it's not Christmas.
A heavenly host appeared to them and they were terrified.
Have you seen the movie Star Wars?
Glory in the God and highest. Today was Savior and boy. You'll find him in a manger, laughed and coughed. Go and see him.
Let's go to Bethlehem.
Having snacks.
Marshmallow.
They walked to the
three wise men were sitting on a deck of a high house.
One weird yellow and one weird blue and the other one weird purple.
And they saw a very big, large star.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.
That light is too bright.
They followed the star and they
followed it to Bethlehem to see, and they found baby Jesus.
And then back in the barn,
Jesus loves me, this I know, but the Bible tells me so. This awake day is drunk, yes, Jesus loves me.
You know what? When we were on our way in, we saw this little kitty. It was black.
Yeah, her name is Sarah.
We're happy that you're finally here. And we've been waiting for an hour and 15 minutes.
Have you seen the movie Star Wars?
Where is the baby? We have come to find him and worship him.
They gave him three gifts.
Gold, frankincense, and word. What is frankincense?
Stinky.
Mom, the baby's so cute.
Thanks.
He's a special baby. Baby Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus was God's son.
Jesus came because we needed him.
God sent him down to die for our sins.
It's important to worship him every day, even when it's not Christmas.
Cut. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. So, I'm scared that we're going to have to buy a new bulb. Yeah, that was really dark. But it wasn't dark. I mean, it was light. It was, you know, as moods go. But we have our traditions, and so this morning we're going to talk about the song, O Holy Night. So you trivia people, you're going to want to take some notes at the first part, because coming up, you know, or you might already know this, maybe I should do it as a trivia thing, because when Robin and I have gone Wednesday night to the trivia night, we normally finish in 11th if there are 12 teams, because there'll be like a 7-year-old girl playing, and we're thankful for that. But the song, O Holy Night, in 1843, in France, Placide Cabot, he wrote it. Yes, bless you. He wrote it, and he wrote it. It was called Minuit Christiane's. Okay, Minuet of Christians, and he was a wine merchant and a poet, but he wasn't religious at all. Well, the bishop in the Catholic Church nearby said, I want a poem written for our dedication of our new organ. Ed, did you sell him that one? No, too long ago. That was Kim's church. We always joke that Kim is old, but she's not. Anyway, but the local priest wanted a poem written, so this guy, even though he wasn't religious, he wrote O Holy Night, based on Luke. And in 1847, a composer named Adolf put music to it. In 1855, it got translated into English, but it just kind of sat around. It didn't really take off. It wasn't a hit. It wasn't making the Billboard list. It wasn't doing any of that until it got its big break. It got its big break on Christmas Eve in 1906 when Reginald Fessenden, 33-year-old, kind of nerdy guy, liked electronics, all that, he put together the first ever radio broadcast that included voice, talk show, and music. And he played O Holy Night on that radio broadcast. And then, so he was from Brant Rock, Massachusetts, and that's where the first ever radio broadcast with music and voice together happened. So there you go. There you know the trivia. But my goal this morning is that we will never sing the song O Holy Night again the same way without considering what it is saying. So we're gonna look at like a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. Thrill of hope, weary world rejoices. For what? A new and glorious morn. And so I've started off with this this passage that was up here. We'll skip through that. Don't play it again. Don't play. This passage that was up here from Lamentations. This was after the fall of the temple in Jerusalem. And it's not very cheery. It's not very cheery. You read it. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I will say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. So when we look at that and see that passage, we're going to take it apart to see three things about this new and glorious day that's going to come. Three things out of O Holy Night. The first is that Jesus is exactly what you and I need. There was an old song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Some of you who went to camps remember that, and all the girls crying around the campfire, you know, like singing that song. But the truth of it, in Lamentations 3:24, when he wrote, Jeremiah wrote, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my everything. Therefore, I will wait for him. Now, look at what the Jews went through, right? Remember the story of the Jews? How did God feed them when they were wandering for 40 years? Manna. Manna came, dropped out of heaven every morning, which is like a bread-like substance. They would gather it up in order to have breakfast. But it also rotted, the extra would rot. Do you know that we now say, give us this day our daily bread, right? That daily bread that God gives us, God is the supply. He's exactly, according to Scripture, Jesus is exactly what our marriages need. Jesus is exactly what you need in school, in high school, in middle school. Jesus is what you need. Jesus is what you need at work. Jesus is what you need in addiction, depression, anxiety. Jesus is exactly what we need. So if we're hurting, he's comfort. If we're down, he's joy. When we see we're weak, he is strength. When we're lost, he is our way to find the solution. So the second thing is that Jesus is the hope to keep going. Jesus is the hope to keep going. He wrote in the song, "The Thrill of Hope." The thrill. You guys ever have any thrill? I mean, I remember thrill. You go on these things that are called thrill rides at amusement parks. And I know some of us are allergic to thrill. We avoid thrill at all costs. Others of us live on thrill. We need that next big adventure. But I think a healthy dose of thrill is like, wow, this is awesome. My grandkids, I told you a couple of weeks ago, they're used to me at the end of the Macy's Day Parade. They will tell you, if you ask Ethan and Emma, what does Grandpa do when he sees Santa at the end of the parade? I literally get up and dance around and go, Santa, Santa's coming. Santa, I know him. I know him. Santa's coming. You guys, you guys. And they sit there on the couches like this. And so I actually pick them up. Hurts my back. I pick them up. They're getting big. And I go, Ethan, Ethan, Santa's coming. Santa's coming. And I'm like, the thrill. I'm like, woohoo. I love thrill. The thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. We read in Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. Those who seek him, to the one who looks for Jesus. That hope is like, it's proportionate. As I seek Christ in my life, then my hope magnifies. The more I seek him, the more my hope expands. He is my hope. So where's your hope today? Is it in the economy? In the economy? Is it in the results of the latest election? That's your hope. Is it that you're hoping in the stock market? Is your hope that you'll get that promotion? Maybe your hope is that that person, this is my person, my soulmate, and this is my everything. Is your hope your dream of status and getting more, a bigger house, more and more and more? If you haven't watched on Netflix yet, there's a documentary, I forget what it's called, but it's about how we as Americans keep buying more stuff. Remember what it was called? Buy Now. It's a good one to watch because we are serving more. We are serving more, that we need more, we need better, we need this, we need that. And we'll look and say, well, I really need this because I've had it for 5 years. When the one we've had for 5 years is fine, still working. Now watch it. Maybe your hope is your dream of that D1 scholarship. Your hope is that dream of that career. Your hope is your dream that you're going to dance on Broadway. You're going to be the next huge blockbuster star. Maybe your hope is whatever that dream is that you have. Is that everything that is your hope? Well, you've heard me say before, everything except for Christ rusts, busts, turns to dust, or breaks up in the end. It's all gone. It's all gone in the end. And so if we serve that and work for that and work hard, it goes away eventually. Here's the thing. I, in high school, was an athlete. One laugh. The rest of you were polite and laughed internally. I was an athlete. I loved playing basketball. I played football up until ninth grade. I played, you know, I earned my varsity letter every year. I was an athlete. Whew. Today I have trouble. I have trouble keeping up with my granddaughter when we go on a hike. All that stuff, it's gonna rust, bust, turn to dust, and break up in the end. It's gonna break up in the end. So my hope is in Christ, the eternal. It never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Scripture says. If my hope is in you, Lord, my hope is in you. Show me your way. Then that never goes away, no matter what else changes in life. Some of us have been through hard things. We shared some last week. And I appreciate you guys so much for sharing your thankfulness and what a family we have. But we shed tears about some of the hard things that we've been through. But did you notice? My hope is in you. People would say, I knew this was hard, but God was there and God got me through. I know this changes and this changes, but God is constant. God is my hope. That hope. When you have hope, it keeps you moving forward. When I was waiting for my transplant and went through some severe depression, it was when I didn't have hope. Robin would find me and I'd be like with my hood up and tight as I can, peeking through a little hole, and I'd be laying on the couch and just kind of in a ball. No TV on, nothing. My hope was gone. Now you say, Scott, you're a Christian. You know that Jesus is your hope. I would say, yeah, I know that. I'm just not feeling that right now. I'm not feeling that right now. So friends would come over. They'd play their guitar for me. They'd sing. They would pray with me. They would just hang out with me. And you know what happened? They reminded me that my hope is alive. Because sometimes when you're facing the hardest thing, when you're in a family, that family of God that cares, sometimes I have no strength, so I have to borrow Kim's. I have no strength, so I have to borrow Barbie's. See, we lean on each other to get each other through those times because our hope is in God. Someone stand up and read Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Let us hold unswervingly to Christ, because that is our hope, a thrill of hope that the weary world rejoices. You know, when I was going through preparing for this, I thought, man, that word weary describes our planet to a T. And yet we have, in response, not even in response to that world, but separate from that world, we have the thrill of hope in Christ, no matter what is making us weary. The thrill of hope. And the last is that Jesus is the help that we're seeking. Jesus is the help we're seeking. In Lamentations, it said, it is good to wait quietly for the Lord, to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good to wait on Him. Now, we are an instant society. We get angry if we wait more than 30 seconds at a light. We get angry if we're in the drive-thru and there are three cars ahead of us and we're pulling through and somebody's handing us food. We get angry when it takes too long. Instead of being like, what is this? We can drive up to this building and we can pay them money and they give us food. Wow. We get angry when things don't happen immediately. One thing, we look and see that Jesus, while we wait quietly for him to work it out, we can hope and go, we know our hope. Our hope is eternal. Right now might stink. Right now is full of pain and tears and all of these things, but Scripture tells us that the future, there is no more tears. There's no more pain. The sting of death is gone. Our hope is eternal. It's lasting. See, we know that Jesus is the help we're seeking, so we need to wait for it. It's an amazing thing what difference one day can make. One day can make a huge difference. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Jesus raised him from the dead. So think of this. Lazarus' community, the people he loved, who loved him, they were weeping, they were mourning, they were like, oh, Jesus, why didn't you come sooner? They were going through a terrible time. And yet Jesus, one day before, dead, day now, alive. Things change. Our hope is that things change. The Scripture tells us about a woman who was bleeding for 12 years. And one day, she met Jesus and was healed. We read the story of a man who was probably about 38 and never had walked and laying on his mat. And he had been at this pool of Bethesda every day, the healing pools, trying to have this hope that he could get to it when the water stirred. And one day, this guy comes walking in and says, pick up your mat. Pick up your mat. And he walked. And he carried his mat out. One day, today might stink. But don't give up hope. Because tomorrow is a new day. A new and glorious morn. Ella has shared with us her story some of being in a place where she is hurting, where her whole family is hurting, and everyone is thinking right now stinks. And then our family all gathers together to watch her do a wonderful performance in Cinderella. And I'm watching you, and I'm watching you as people are coming out and hugging you and touching you and being like, oh, you were awesome. You did a great job. And I looked and I went, what a new and glorious morn. But if we look 6 months back, we weren't there. Let's wait on the Lord and see what he does, because we do not give up hope. We seek him because he is the help that we're seeking. In Romans 13, 11 through 12, it says, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. See, the author of the hymn that we're going to close with, he didn't know Jesus, but he knew the story from Luke. He wrote this song as an unbeliever that we sing every year. And so I look and I think, he didn't know Jesus, but you and I can. We can know Jesus. How? How can we know Jesus? It's there in the song. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Hear them announcing. Hear them announcing the night that God showed up to live among us and walk with us. Hear them announcing that. Hear them calling you to put your faith in this baby, in this hope, in the divine. Hear them. And then, so we look and we say, how do we do this? We say it by saying, Jesus, I've put my hope and trust in other things, but today I want to change that. Today, within myself, with you, I want to put my life in your hands. I want to make you Christ my Lord. As the song says, forgive me, cleanse me, make me new. From this day forward, my desire is to follow you. The music team's going to come on up to close us. This prayer that I'd like us to pray. And maybe it's the first time you've ever thought of this. Maybe you've been hanging out with us and you're like, I don't know this Jesus stuff, but I kind of like it. You don't have to know everything. But that thrill of hope, that we look, I'm weary, I want to rejoice. I need a new and glorious morn. That's new every day. I'm going to lead us in prayer. And you can pray along if you want. Jesus, I've been putting my hope and trust in other things. Today, I want to put my life in your hands and make you Christ my Lord. Forgive me, cleanse me, make me new. From this day forward, I will follow you. Fill me with that thrill of hope that causes the weary to rejoice. I give you each day and pray for that new and glorious morn. Amen. You will have that hope, that thrill of hope, even in the face of weariness. I pray that you know that tomorrow could be a new and glorious morn. Have a great week, guys.